They've proposed oil taxes, smoking taxes, you name it. If there's, you know, there's probably a tax on this video.
Hi, I'm Ted Ballacher with Reason TV, and today I'll be sitting down with John Fleischman. Fleischman is founder and publisher of The Flash Report, found at flashreport.org, a popular website that focuses on California politics. For those who may not be familiar with it, describe what The Flash Report is.
Flash Report is, in a nutshell, is a website on California politics. Most people have heard of the Drudge Report, and this is kind of the California version. Our team gets up way early every morning and goes to like 100 different websites and consolidates all of the top news stories of the day. And then we kind of add to that a lot of original writing from contributors up and down California.
Last year around this time, California was in a fiscal crisis. This year, we're in another fiscal crisis. Has anything changed in a year?
A big part of the reason why we're in a fiscal precipice right now like we were last year is our state workforce and state budget have swelled to an enormous size. And then, of course, we have this massive level of unsustainable defined benefit retirement packages that have been offered to all these employees. And so what you're going to continue to see, I think, is I think that there's resolve in Sacramento on the part of Republicans to not support any more tax increases. That having been said, I don't think there's resolve amongst the Democrats in Sacramento to really significantly cut the size and scope of state government.
But doesn't the GOP at least share some of the blame?
I'm glad you asked me this question, because whether you look in Washington, D.C., where up until the very end of George W. Bush's presidency, we had profligate spending taking place in Washington under Republican watch. And then here in California, I mean, last year's tax increase, it takes a two-thirds vote of the legislature to increase taxes in California. Democrats don't control two-thirds of either legislative chambers. Ergo, some Republicans crossed over the aisle and voted with the Democrats to put these taxes on the Republican governor's desk, and he signed them. So I could tell you, as an officer of the state Republican Party, when I travel all around California, I encounter a tremendous amount of cynicism from loyal Republicans who don't understand why should we be excited about the Republican Party if the Republican Party on its best day is being, you know, kind of Democrat light. And so what I say to that is that I have seen, sometimes being in the minority can be very helpful. And certainly when you look on the national perspective, I mean, I believe that there's a different group of Republicans who are now poised to lead in Washington if there's a Republican majority. And there's nothing like a hardline liberal president to encourage that. And then with Schwarzenegger, you know, you have to remember, he was elected in 2003 on a platform of sweeping out the special interests and we're not going to raise taxes. And I remember him holding up the broom. And he turned out to not be what he told people he would be. I always say that he, in retrospect, he should have received an Academy Award for best dramatic role in a recall election, because he really fooled a lot of us. I mean, and so because of that, it's really hurt the party. It's really hurt the party brand. The only good news is that Schwarzenegger seems to spend a lot of his time trying to convince people he's not a Republican, really.
So where are we headed? Is a federal bailout in the works, perhaps?
Well, I mean, last year, a big chunk of money came from the federal government out of that big stimulus package, as the president likes to call it. And this year, Governor Schwarzenegger has proposed a budget that includes the presumption of getting another huge infusion of cash, courtesy of the taxpayers from around the country. I don't think that's a realistic expectation. And so I think we're going to end up in the spring here at another big showdown that I think is ultimately going to end up being a mix of cuts and then also gimmicks, which we've seen before.
A lot of people are predicting that California will just go bankrupt. But technically, California can't go bankrupt. There's no constitutional mechanism for it. So what would a fiscal collapse look like?
Well, I mean, this, you know, gets into an area of theory because it's never happened before. Right now, there's a complex set of constitutional provisions and laws that have passed that kind of prioritize, okay, if the state has limited funds, who gets first shot at those funds? And it's like this overlapping maze of commitments that it's very difficult to look through. But all we have to do is look at, you know, whether we look in the private sector, say United Airlines is a great example. They went through a bankruptcy reorganization. And a huge chunk of the liability they had on the books was to their unions and to pension plans. the judge actually cracked open the pension plan and talked about the need to revise that, and the employees came to the table based on that and said, you know what, this is where we agree to reduce what our piece is, because none of us are going to get anything if the entire company goes belly up. And municipalities in California and counties have the ability to go bankrupt. I mean, declare bankruptcy. Orange County did a reorganization, as you recall, in the 90s, and it's still humming and kicking today, but it was able to restructure a lot of its debt. The city of Vallejo up in Northern California has gone through a bankruptcy.
And that was sort of a microcosm of the problems in California,
right?
Correct?
The city of Vallejo had discovered that because they had so many obligations to their pensioners, they literally figured out that in order to pay all of the money that was needed for the pensions, the city would have to stop doing everything. No fire, no police, no libraries. And so they're going through a reorganization. And frankly, I don't know if we'll actually end up in that position, or if you may see a situation where ultimately the legislature and the governor decide to act only because they know that if they don't, some unelected judge is going to start to make some decisions.
Politicians like to talk about across-the-board cuts. It's usually a tiny percentage. Is there anything you just get rid of?
I always like to say that getting through the rest of Arnold Schwarzenegger's term, if you're a liberty-oriented individual, is going to be like passing a kidney stone, because he really has turned out to not be what he promised. When he first got elected, he ordered this big California performance review, where they went through and they reviewed all the nooks and crannies of state government and identified what at the time was something like $20 billion. Of potential changes, downsizing, cuts. And then the whole thing got shelved because the governor wasn't willing to take on the unions. Most of those savings remain yet to be realized because the political will is not there on the part of the Democrats to do it. Because, you know, for example, there is no reason why you couldn't have the entire welfare program for the state of California administered in the private sector. But the public employee unions have fought tooth and nail to make sure, oh, no, public employees have to administer welfare. Well, the costs of the public labor force are tremendously higher than contracting out to the private sector. And, you know, and then, you know, from there you can go on and talk about the state having hundreds of boards and commissions that frankly serve no useful purpose. As a matter of fact, at a time when we should be eliminating boards and commissions, I watched the legislators, Republicans and Democrats, just create the new California Blueberry Commission. Now, the Blueberry Commission in and of itself is not really that expensive, but symbolically it says to someone who's watching the process, these people don't get it.
It seems like it's so clear that the problem is spending. Why don't they get it?
I believe that for many of them, they have a passion that I would almost call religious. I mean, they truly believe in the welfare state. They truly believe in the role of state government in redistributing wealth from those people who have more to take care of those people who have less. And they fight the shrinking of government in the same way, that the same zealousness in which you would fight almost heresy. I think that they are hoping to weather the storm, that the economy is going to come back. If they could raise taxes, they would. There are more taxes proposed this year than we've seen in many years. They're talking about taking, they use language now like, we're taking general tax increases off the table. This is after last year when they increased sales, income, car taxes by about $14 billion. This year they're taking general tax increases off the table, but the translation to that is they've proposed oil taxes, smoking taxes, you name it. If there's, you know, there's probably a tax on this video. I mean, you know, so they want to get more money out of the private sector at a time when the economy is very unhealthy and the private sector can least afford to invest more money in government.